The sons and the daughters sing.
surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem, over here the heavens ring. This is a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Surrendering my all, I surrender to the King. Oh, and worship the King, worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face, His glory fills this place. As we worship the King, worship the King.
Come on and
worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face, His glory fills this place. As we worship the King.
Can we sing that together?
Worship the King. Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. When we seek His face, His glory fills this place. As we worship the King, we seek His face, His glory fills this place. As we worship the King.
Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful to be in His presence here right now? Everything that you ever need is in His presence.
Hallelujah.
Healing, deliverance, salvation.
Hallelujah,
Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you for filling this
place.
Thank
you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, and what comes with it, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Your saving power and your grace in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. Brother Mason, would you pray for the offering?
I lift my hands, it's because of you. Every time I lift my voice, it's because of you. Every time I give you praise, it's because of you. Every time I bless your name, it's because of you. It's because of you that I sing. because of you that I praise. It's because of you that I worship and bow down to your name every day. It's because of you that I dance. It's because of you that I shout. It's because of you that I leap for joy with a heart that has no doubt. Every time I lift my hands, it's because of you. Every time I lift my voice, it's because of you. Every time I give you praise, it's because of you. Every time I bless your name, it's because of you. It's because of you that I sing. It's because of you that I praise. It's because of you that I worship and bow down to your name every day. It's because of you that I dance. It's because of you that I shout. It's because of you that I leap for joy with a heart that has no doubt. Because of you, it's because of you, it's because of you. It's because of you, it's because of you, it's because of you. It's because of you, it's because of you, it's because of you. Because of you, it's because of you, it's because of you. It's because of you that I sing. It's because of you that I praise. It's because of you that I worship and bow down to your name every day. It's because of you that I dance. It's because of you that I shout. It's because of you that I leap for joy with a heart that has no doubt. Every time I lift my hand, it's because of you. Every time I lift my voice, it's because of you. Every time I give you praise, it's because of you. Every time I bless your name, it's because of you. It's because of you that I sing. It's because of you that I praise. It's because of you that I worship and bow down to your name every day. It's because of you that I dance. It's because of you that I shout. Because of you that I leap for joy with a heart that has no doubt.
Hallelujah. I never came to church and said, I wish I did not shout and give God praise. I never walked out of here regretting. Man, I just wish I didn't raise my hands when I was at church. I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity right here, right now, to praise Him. I don't have to leave with regret because I gave Him my all. With uplifted hands, with an uplifted heart, with an uplifted voice, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's so good to see the downstairs up here, and this is encouraging. Just look around. This is encouraging. For how much snow that we've had outside, when you woke up this morning, you looked out your window, and you noticed that the plow, the city plows did not come by your house yet, but we are all here. This is awesome. Just a couple quick announcements. Ellie is doing a fundraiser for the youth department. There are some cheesecakes downstairs, and she is continuing to make them through Wednesday. So if you, there is, I believe, 5 available today. It comes with a side of strawberry sauce. They are downstairs. 2, we are going to have Financial Peace University tonight. And if you could just give a hand clap to Brother Davis as he comes up here from the west side of town, all the way here to the pulpit, in Jesus' name.
Everybody said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated just for a moment. Amen. It's good to be here. I got to just kind of remember who I am, where I am. And I think I've become the ultimate snow removal guru, you know, with a bad shoulder and still getting it all done at my house and Eddie's house both. And so it's been a tiring week, hasn't it? Amen. Don't you just love the snow? It can mess up every plan you want to make and do whatever. Last night, before the Wells had even asked me, I told the place at Windermere where I used to work that if they ever cannot find a driver for something or they're stuck or left in a bind, they called me. Well, I got called for yesterday, a few days ago, and I got up there, and boy, it was just a nice drive in, and it was, you know, a Dunkin' Donut and read some notes and work on some things and go back and pick them up from a symphony, which I did not listen to. But I did notice the weather report on my phone, and it talked about, well, Sandwich was going to get hit at 10, Wheaton would be hit at 11. They got out of there at 10, so I knew it would take a while, probably about a 40-minute drive. And I think it was somewhere between 12:30 this morning and 1 o'clock that I did make it home and saw the cars on the highway. And it was quite, you know, I was just concerned about the travel. Brother Davis was a little leery of that myself. But I did make it back. I did not sleep well. So you're just going to get a tired sermon this morning, okay? Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Not really, I hope not anyway. But it's good to be here, good to be in the house of the Lord. And it is good to see such a number of people that is here. And it would have been just as easy, but that snow that's in your driveway is waiting for you when you get home. And so I hope you have a fun afternoon and getting back here for financial peace. Amen. How many would like to have financial peace? How many already has financial peace? All right. It's all right, you know. But how many just needs a big improvement in your finances? I mean, that goes to me. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I wonder about that peace there. If you've not gone through financial peace and you're living by the, you know, leftovers of what we received in the world, then it might not be. But let's stand together. I'm going to get into a sermon and get out of here before 1:30. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 23. And we'll drop down to verse 37, 38. Matthew 23, 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Amen. It's also found in Luke chapter 13 and verse 34. It says, and those are the same, pretty much the same wording of those between the chicks or the hens, and then others are just called together those that were would be under her ring. And it says, but you were not willing, that you would not. King James, or New King James Version, says that because you were not willing. The New Living Translation would say because you would not let me. So Jesus is offering something that has, he's filled his end of the bargain, so to speak, but he is waiting for his people. And this is really addressed to who the people of that day would consider, especially those that were following Christ, that would be God's people. Because he came first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And he's operating within this whole scope of his concern for the Jews. We are the Jews of today's society, and the real Jews, according to the New Testament, because of what God has done in our lives. But I'm going to ask, let's just ask the anointing of God and the direction of God in this sermon today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We want to thank you for your goodness, Lord, for all that you've done for us this week. Lord, the encouragement and the strength that we've gotten from you. And Lord, we're just praising you, amen, for your word. And God, I pray that you open our minds and our hearts and our spirits today that we'd receive these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It was great to visit James Gilchrist. And I suppose he's still doing good. Yeah, he came home Friday. I knew that. And come on. That's all right. You go into the hospital with the idea of having a couple aneurysms. And then the doctor's getting in there and finding a few more smaller aneurysms. You're talking about something that could be very uneasy in your life. It would be that. But we had a good prayer with him before he went into surgery. We had great praise with him. Amen. The next day of all the good reports that came out. And we thank God for that. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A few weeks ago, matter of fact, I had a couple of funerals that I preached. One of them was of a Mrs. Ewing, that Dorothy Ewing, I think was her first name, from Millington. She had a number of children. Matter of fact, she gave birth to 13 children. And as somebody was writing about her and gave me things to say about her, one of the things that was said that she was a mother to her 13 children, which all would know that. I don't know if I've made this statement. I've made it to a number of people about how that even in that, though, with after 13 children, somebody put in there, but she was actually, it seemed like every child that was born and raised in Millington that people considered that she would be the mother of them. She just kind of had that. And of course, when you have 13 kids and, have great personalities for boys, they were all boys, amen, of being around them, you know that you would have to put up with a lot of other kids because, you have friends of 13 children. You know, they're coming by your house, eat your food, you know, do whatever's around. And she was very hospitable to them. But in the midst of it all, it's just kind of been a little thought that has stayed with me ever since that, because in her funeral, I actually used this scripture, to preach as a funeral to that congregation. And it just went a little bit, it started intriguing me somewhat. And so it's just a simple little story. I'm going to probably get ahead of myself a little bit here, but when I was a young man, in Sunday school, we did not have videos. We did not have great definition as far as the pictures that were drawn, and there was not anything that would really stand out as a great piece of artwork. But we, like I said, we did not have slides. We moved beyond that here. We all deal with the internet. We can get just about anything that we want. But I remember walking into my Sunday school class as a child, and maybe that's why this stands out to me, because I heard this story, and it was told to us. Maybe, I'm trying to think, it was Sister Blake that came by our church in a revival. And of course, they're missionaries, or were missionaries for many years. She was a Bollinger, and their family was good members with ours. And to be honest with you, she was probably my first crush. She was 16, and I was probably 6, and I just thought she was the most beautiful lady I'd ever seen, and really, Sister Blake, was a beautiful lady, you know, in spirit as well as in looks, and of course, I wasn't concerned about the spirit, but, you know, the looks, amen, as a very young child, but anyway, I know, and I'm pretty sure she told this story, and seemed like another person having, and they had these flannelgraphs. How many knows what a flannelgraph is? Sister Hayes did that also. Well, anyway, through all of that, they tell this story. And the story is about this hen that had her chicks, and that she had, doesn't say how many, just like the Bible doesn't say how many, but she had her brood, and it was a number of chicks that were there, and she was the hen. And she clucked. Matter of fact, no matter what came her way, you know, whether it was something that was very severe. One guy said that he made little figures out of, actually more shadow things out of birds that would fly in the air. And he would get beyond the the chicken coop, and he would wave that little bit, and so that the mother hen would see that and start clucking as if that there was a predator bird flying over her hen or her chicks. And so he was trying to teach her that when you see these things, and sure enough, she responded to that. If it was the lunchtime, she would have a little different cluck. And then the kids would know that it was time to eat. And there were times that if she sensed any danger whatsoever. And so there was a, you know, this hen, all hens that were born and had their children or their chicks with them, the clucking sound, which we don't understand. If you do, I don't. Amen. But it had different sounds for different occasions that would rise in their life. And these children, the hen was all about protecting and all about comforting and all about defending, amen, anything that might come their way. And Jesus takes upon this simple little illustration, amen, and put himself metaphorically in this job and says, how oft would I have gathered you? Amen. And so he's not talking about anybody else but himself, puts himself in the place of a hen and says, as how oft have I called you? Amen, to hide underneath my wings and close to me to find comfort and to find peace of mind and find those things that really weigh over you. And so with all of this said, Jesus puts us into a place. And of course, in the story of this flannograph that was given, a barn was put up and a farmer was put out and a little fence was put. Amen, maybe a little backdrop of some grass in the field and some buildings around. And that was one level to where everything was fine. You had a chick, she had her, or you had a hen, you had her chicks, and she was leading them and wherever they would go. And barnyards are not usually like what we see farmhouses today. Most farmers, when I was a kid, did not mow acres upon acres upon acres. They would let the grass maybe grow around some of the barns or behind them, and part of their yard were, I wouldn't say weeds, but they were good grass. And there was a time that these chicks were in that grass, and a fire happened. And the hen, the mama, starts making this sound, and her chicks come running to her. And as they come running to her, and you ought to look this up on the internet, because it's just like this chick is there, and she's created just a little passage for them to slide under her feet and get close to her, amen, because she was their protector and their comforter, amen, the one that could give them warmth but also give them just a security, amen, of being around the things that they had to face. And so after the fire was out, and the farmer began to survey his property, he noticed that there was a clump of something just laying in the field. And so now we see the clump and we see the farmer on the flannograph. It's not happened in movement and it's not going on in that kind of exciting way like we have today. But he kicks that clump, and when he does, he just assumes that he lost his hen and his chicks, and not really not knowing what this was on the ground. As he kicks this clump, all of her little chicks come running out from underneath that carcass. And the farmer, of course, realized it wasn't a total loss. And that is the position that Jesus is putting himself in. Simple story, amen, simple truth, great altar call if somebody knows how to handle it right, amen. But when it comes to that, amen, Jesus is saying, this is me. I am that hen in this metaphor. Amen, you are my people. And this is what I want to have in relationship with you. And so as I, over the past few weeks from them, I've noticed that this there's some things on the internet I discovered. One, in this temple, I'm going to say church, Catholic church, in Jerusalem, close to the mountain, Mount of Olives, it says the Dominus Flavet Church on Mount Carmel of Olives has this picture that I have before me. I should have put it on some kind of a thing so that you could see it. But you have the picture of a chick on an altar in this church, a chicken or a hen, and with its, all of its little chicks around about it. And so the story settled in somebody's brain. There has to be something here, amen, that means something. Jesus, first of all, says it. What is he talking about? And of course, they would come to find that he became our protector and our savior. amen, by offering his life, amen, upon a cross and dying this death. And yet the Lord here is portraying himself just a hen, just a common hen. But I love my chicks. And church, if there's anybody that God loves, there's none, amen, greater than what we are. I know that he loves everyone. He loves the sinner. He loves the backslider. He loves the people in the world that have never heard. Amen. But the people that he loves the most, if it only makes sense to me, is those that are filled with his spirit. Amen. Those that are heartbeat connection with him, to where we have a relationship, to where I know he loves me. Amen. And I want to love him. And I know that God can deliver me from all things. But the shame of it is that when we come before the saints of God and being God's people, amen, we have to make this comment that Jesus says, amen, I would have, but I couldn't because you wouldn't let me. A sinner lives his life in that way, and the shame of it is many people that are in the church know the Word, know the Holy Ghost, know what God has said, amen, and yet they seem to have this problem of all of the adversities that they face in life, amen. They're fine until something comes along. And then all of a sudden they get rattled and they get real tense and they get real nervous and they do strange things and act strange ways and they're easily offended and amen. And there ought to be something beckoning to say, why don't you just come? Put yourself underneath the shadow of God's wing. Amen. Let him comfort you. Let him protect you. Let him provide for you. Amen. This hen has done a lot of work for her chicks, but nothing in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done for his church. Amen. And for his saints. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering. Hallelujah. Well, the story, I just want to make a few points here. We're going to do a little run through a book that is called Psalms. And Brother Davis is going to do quite a bit of reading here. Amen, because we are students of the Word, and I know you love to read the Word while you're in church. I know you have your Bible with you, and you're not just carrying something electronic, amen, and that you're got something that you can work with. You might want to make a mark in, and amen, and keep that and hide it in your heart so that you never sin against God, amen. And I know how you are with the Word in this church. Amen. I remember Wednesday nights. This thing never came on. I'm going to say it's right or wrong. It's a new generation today. But it's important that we stay with our Word. Amen. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. That's just a little Brother Davis there. That's nothing. Let's turn to Psalm 17. And I think this is a longer one. I'll try to shorten this a little bit. Psalm 17, and it will be up. It's fine with me. No problem whatsoever. And it says, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, and give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips, or lying lips, or careless lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence, and let thine eyes behold the things that are equal or just. Thou hast provided or proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am a purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the pass of the destroyer. Amen. In this case, to where Jesus tells the story about the hen and her chicks, you'll notice that he is addressing the children of Israel. Amen. That you have been, you have rejected me. Amen. You have fought against me. You fought against my followers, and we followed it all through the Word. Amen. And so these were people right now that should have been, amen, in his fold, but was not in his fold. And they became a danger. They were the most dangerous people, amen, for a time that the Christian would have to face. It was terrible days. And so concerning this, amen, the works of men, the writer goes on and says, by the words of thy lips I have kept me from the path of my destroyer. Hold up my goings in the path, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear, O God. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show me marvelous kindness. Oh, that thou savest by the right hand them which put their trust in thee, and from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of thine eye, and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Two things that are there. You are the apple of God's eye. Don't become rotten. Amen. Become sweet. How many like sweet apples? I like crab apples. Anybody like crab apples? They will run the whole definition of an apple. But he says, spare me. You know, there's take care of me. I know I'm the apple of your eye. I know I'm something special to you. Hey, man, look at yourself in the mirror right now. Oh, wait a minute. We probably can't do that. And whether you think it or not, if you're not there, God wants you to be there to where you feel like I am an apple, amen, to God's eyes. I am inviting. And he says, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, amen. So he's our hiding place because we're the apple of his eye. And he cares for us. When you're sick, he cares for you. Amen. When you're scared, he cares for you. Amen. Let's go on and just read another portion of scripture here, turning to Psalms 36. And it says in verse 1, the transgression of the wicked saith within his heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself with his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful, and the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. And he is left off to be wise, amen, and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. He's not talking about a good man. He's talking about an enemy. Thy mercy, O Lord, in verse 5, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches into the clouds. Thy righteousness is like a great mountain. Amen. Thy judgments are great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest men or man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness. If you ever think you're not loved of God, amen, you're believing something that's false. And he wants to deal with you with loving kindness. He doesn't want you to be harsh and mean or indifferent. He wants you to be able to look at somebody, amen, with love and compassion in your heart and let that person know that here is somebody that I might not agree with, but I know they love me and they've got something they want to give me and they want to do in my life. And he says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, and therefore the children of men shall put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Hallelujah. Sister Davis could probably tell you where she at. I need her right now. She's in the nursery. Sister Davis. She's just coming right out. She's just coming. See, she's carnal. So she will know. She will know who the shadow. You know the shadow. The old time, just the modern day, the old time was on the radio and he would come out. And what was the introduction to that show? Huh? The Shadow Knows. Oh, and it's more not just the shadow knows, it's the shadow knows. Got spooky. Amen. But there's something about our shadow. Amen. It's in his wings, and of his wings it comes to offer us our protection, to make sure that nothing comes against us. Amen. And so we know that he is excellent in his loving kindness, and therefore men can put their trust in him. Why is it that we have such a hard time trusting in somebody that we love and somebody that we know loves us? I want to tell you something. When you get down and depressed and you begin to kind of get fed up with God a little bit and frustrated, and I know that some of us are there quite often, and some of us are there, if not often, there comes times in our lives, but we have to check ourselves, because we know that I know He loves me. I know He cares for me. I might not feel Him right now. I might not see Him right now. Amen. Things might be going the way, but I know one thing. He's there, and He's full of loving kindness, and He wants to reach out to me because He loves me, and so I can trust in Him. Key to our relationship with anybody, especially our God. Psalms 57, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, and be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee," and second time, "yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Now we've moved into what is the common things that would come against us, to some of the things that we might look at. Friend, I want to tell you something. Amen. Christians fall into hard times, whether we have or not. Amen. I look at some of them that have gone through the hurricanes and the flooding and the lack of food and the inconvenience. And it's one thing being inconvenienced for a day and another thing to be inconvenienced for a week. But when it turns into months and when it turns into years and you just can't seem to get everything back. But see, David knew there's going to be an end to this. Amen. This is going to come to pass. And when it happens, I want you to know one thing. Amen. When the calamities are all overpassed, I'm still going to take refuge. Amen. Underneath the wings, amen, of my God, because my love, amen, I trust in Him. What are you asking me, Brother Davis? I can go on. And says, and he says in verse 2, "I will cry unto the God Most High, unto the God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth, and my soul among the lions, and I lie even among them that are on fire." Amen. "That lie, and the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue as sharp as a sword." Amen. "And be exalted." You think everybody's going to treat you nice? Let me just stop right there and say one thing. You don't have to worry about them, because God is the one that you can put your trust in. Amen. The shadow of his wings, amen, is why he wants to cover you. I know somebody thinks, God, I like that part where it says that we're going to mount up with wings of eagles. Amen. God's just going to make me soar. And I believe that. I believe that there are times that God lets us just soar. But there's times that we have this little barnyard experience where people treat us wrong. And people say offensive things and sicknesses and things come along, and you have trials and you have all these cares and calamities. Amen. And yet in all of that, there ought to be this comfort that we find in the presence of God, just being right there underneath his wings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 5. "Be thou exalted," I don't know if I read this one or not, "O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above the earth, and they have prepared a net for my steps. And my soul bowed down, and they have dug a pit before me, and into the midst of them," or midst whereof, "they are fallen themselves." They fell in that pit. Now they want me to fall. Selah. "My heart is fixed, O God. And I will sing and give praise. Wake up my glory. Awake the psaltery and the harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise, O God, among the people. I will sing, amen, unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and the truth in the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above the earth." But yet we find David in this place of great trial and depression, amen, finding something that he praises God for. He does not want to insult God's character. He doesn't want to kind of push God's off in some mean way. God forbid that we ever come to this place where God says, amen, and has to talk to us, but you would not. You were not willing. You were not wanting. You were not desiring. You want this Christian thing, and you want to walk in a certain way, but do you really totally put your trust in the shadow of his wings? Not the soaring of an eagle today. That might come some other time. Not all the wings that we've been hearing about in Revelation. Amen, because those are many, and those come often, and those are going to reflect very seriously upon this earth. But his wings are the wings of compassion. He paid the price for them. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I will abide in thy tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Now he comes into a hiding place to where God is going to hide him and keep him in a place of safety. For thou, O God, hast heard my voice and given me the heritage of those who fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years, amen, as many generations, and he shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. And so I will sing into the name of the Lord forever, amen, and I may daily perform my vows. I hope you're all keeping record of this. When you get to them in your Bible reading, you don't have to read them anymore. Brother Davis just read them for you. Next to the last one. Psalm 63. I think you get the point. Let me just read the verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of the wings I will rejoice. Amen. While I'm in this presence of being in the power of God, is what God wants us to do is bring us out of our calamities and out of our trials and all of those things, amen, that weigh heavy upon us and allow us to rejoice, amen, and sing before him, amen, because he has helped me. David said, because he's helped me. Amen. I want to tell you something. God wants to treat you like he treated David. Amen. When you're doing right, he wants to bless you. Amen. When you're doing wrong, he wants to correct you. He wants to reprove you. He wants to set you on the right path. Amen. But this God in whose wings you are going to rest under, amen, and live under and run to in the time of your calamity. Be faithful with God. Be consistent with God. Hallelujah. Rejoice with God. Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I will trust, and surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Surely he shall deliver me from the air of the fowler. Amen. For from the noisome pestilence he shall cover me with his feathers. And under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, your protector. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 by thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only in thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall them, neither any plague come nigh to the dwelling, for he shall give the angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon, thou shalt trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why? Because he chose to choose the place that he could put his trust in, his confidence in. Amen. Not carry all these trials. You know, it's all right to be depressed for a few hours. But when it carries on to weeks, come on, get out of it. If it goes on a month, by all means. If it goes on any longer than that, maybe you're already there. It would have probably been you that Jesus would have said, you know what, I would have, but you wouldn't let me. I wanted to, but I could not because you were not willing. Amen. I know that we preach to the sinner and we preach to the one, amen, that we want to come to our church, that if something might awaken him and something might move in his heart and in his life. But somewhere you got to learn to trust in this one that David quotes up 6 times. I know, how many of you realize that David had enemies and afflictions and sorrows? I want to tell you his confidence in God. I kind of like that story about his son. And I know his And David was praying all the time he was sick. And then all of the day, one day it just kind of turns around and, you know, he passes away. And David gets up and cleanses himself and washes himself and begins to rejoice in God and says, you know what? He's never going to come back to me, but I'm going to go to him. Where does that come from? It comes from sometimes when you realize that I've got a problem and God's got the answer. I'm just kind of sneaking that little opening that he leaves for me. That is my protection. That is my receiving his loving kindness. Of having his word and its truth that is there with me. Because friend, I want to tell you something. Saints are not losers. Saints are the apple of his eye. Just don't become that rotten apple where someday the Lord has to say, and I would have gathered you under there too. But maybe you're just feeling sorry for yourself too much. Maybe you don't think you had the time. Maybe you think you're too important, but for some reason, it's because of you. It's because of our sins that Christ died. Amen. We need to become willing. And I know David had some failures, but it does seem like that David got over most of his failures. And he made some failures that were bigger than mine. And we don't read about them all the time. They're not there every week. They maybe just sporadically come up in his life. But every time that it happened, it seemed as if that at the very end, no matter how much destruction he caused, he was still able to come back to the place where he says, God, I'm willing to submit myself and surrender myself underneath the wings of that shadow. Because I want to tell you about the shadow. He knows all things. Everybody say amen. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows where you've been. He knows where you want to be. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands in loving. We're his people. Hallelujah. God, you have the right, hallelujah, to encourage us and to love us and let us know things are good. Hallelujah, Lord. And if we're not seeing those things in our lives, I pray, God, that we run to that covert. Amen. And put ourselves underneath your care. Amen. And let you revive us and restore us and redeem us, God, in your lovely name. Hallelujah. We're the people that need prayer. We're the people, Lord, that wants to give prayer. Amen. We're the people, Lord, that wants to know that we can depend upon you and upon what is said in many of these verses about your truth. Amen. Because, God, your truth is going to endure forever as you endure forever. And we want to endure forever. Amen. In your presence on this earth. And, God, we want to enjoy you forever and the company of saints that we will be with forever and ever. Hallelujah. I know a place where there's never going to be any more sickness and sorrow, no more pain, and no more death. Hallelujah. And we have that hope in God. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, in your lovely name, we believe you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's just gather in around the altar. Amen, I think. Let's just come and give him some praise. David said in one place, oh, I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. In this shadow, because it means so much to me, and it seems as if I mean so much to that shadow. Amen. Underneath the wings of God's shadow. Hallelujah. The shadow of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Love.
As he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you that your enemy will build embankments around about you and surround you and close you in from every side and level you and your children within you and your ground. Amen. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because thou did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus that gave this warning back into the middle chapters of Luke and also Matthew, many believe that he ties in here as his real declaration of what's going to happen. Notice it says, if you had known. It's not because they had not known, it's because they did not want to do it. But if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, they didn't know it in their day. You don't get to go on forever. You will have a time span in which you've got to come into God's perfect things. He says, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. They're only going to be revealed by character, God's presence, amen, the Lord directing your paths and doing that because, you know, there's sometimes God just has to come and say, you know, I could have done it, but you wouldn't let me. Matter of fact, in most places where he went, because people were so far away from him. And so he just had to leave there and go somewhere else until he found somebody, some chicks. Amen. Talking about real chickens now. amen, would come in and just really surrender themselves to God and say, Lord, and you don't have to do nothing. Just let him sit there and make you happy and make you rejoice and enjoy his loving kindness and go out there prepared. You know the enemy's out there. I think sometimes we would have a whole lot more intensity in our prayer and our worship and everything else if we realized how much the world out there hates us. So, brother, they would say, depresses me. If the much of this world doesn't, you know, hate you, then you probably haven't arrived where you really need to be. Amen. They hate us without a cause. They don't have a reason. It's just because they feel like doing that. That's just their nature. That's why in these six chapters that we looked at in Psalms, amen, we see to where they had enemies. Enemies were out to destroy them. Nobody was there really to encourage them. And all they did do is come beneath the shadow of the wings of God. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Praise your name. Heavenly Father, we love you because you first loved us. God, you gave your life for us. Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, you put within us. You have made us the apple of your eye. I believe that we are a beautiful thing. In your sight, Lord, and in your presence, we don't shun away from your promises. We don't shun away from the experiences that you want us to have. Because these experiences that we go through, the repentance of our sins, being baptized in your name, being filled with your Spirit, hallelujah, Lord, bringing intercessory prayer and praying for those, amen, that are around about us. God, we know, amen, that we're a people that you look upon favorably. We don't want the world, amen, to highly regard us. Amen. If we have to be like them, no way, Lord. Hallelujah. We want to be like you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.